This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In. Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcasts. If you're a regular listener, I invite, or even a new listener, and you have any questions or any topics, health, wellness, nutrition topics that you'd like discussed here on my podcast, you can email me, radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So here I am today. I'm taking a question here. I've got an email from Mark. Mark writes, "Dear Layla, please discuss the role of prebiotics versus probiotics. What is the action of each? When should each be taken? Morning, midday, evening, before, during, after meals? Can prebiotics be taken at the same time as probiotics? And what are some good examples of prebiotics?" Okay. Good comprehensive question here. Thank you, Mark. And this is a very important topic. We're hearing more and more over the years, recent years, about probiotics, but even more so about prebiotics most recently, as prebiotics feed the probiotics. Prebiotics feed the beneficial bacteria and help them to flourish, keeping our digestive health healthy overall. Now, why so much attention on probiotics and prebiotics? The microbiome. We are just on the tip of the iceberg in discovering that we are indeed, as human beings, each of us, a superorganism. We are host to trillions of bacteria. The digestive tract is home to more than 500 species of bacteria, comprising about 100 trillion bugs altogether. Imagine, we are host to more of these organisms than we have. There are more of these organisms than there are cells in our body. Wrap your mind around that for a moment. We have more of this bacteria in our body, on our skin, in our orifices, everywhere from the mouth to the anus, in the vagina. Our skin is also host to many organisms, both good and detrimental when you have an infection. So there are more trillions of these than... And we have more bugs than we have cells in our body. So isn't that so amazing? So collectively, all of these millions of bugs, trillions of bugs, they're tremendously important for overall health. We give these bugs a home. We are, in fact, the host. We are the organism or the superorganism. We give these bugs a home, and in exchange, they do a great variety of things for us. They help digest our food. They help synthesize certain vitamins. Let me give you some examples. Biotin is synthesized in the gut. So is vitamin K. And these bugs play an important role in immune defense. Why? Because in our gut is GALT. GALT, G-A-L-T, is the acronym for gut-associated lymphoid tissue. This is 70 to 80% of our immunity right there. So when you hear good health begins in the gut, in the colon, it is absolutely true. And these bugs, the deal we have with the ecosystem in giving these good, friendly bugs a home is how we are helped. It's in our immune defense. They help to synthesize, digest our food. These bugs also act as a barrier to help our bodies filter and appropriately absorb nutrients from what we eat. So all of this good bacteria, the good bugs, aka also known as beneficial bacteria, also known as probiotics, good bugs are the probiotics. We need to be constantly replenishing them. Now, how do we get inoculated with these good bugs in the first place? Well, if you were born, if your mother had a vaginal birth with you, you were first introduced to these good bugs through the birth canal. That's where all these microbiota exist. And the baby basically is smeared, is even swallowing some of this good bacteria. I don't mean that to sound gross. This is what happens. And this is how a brand new baby is inoculated with all of these healthy probiotics. In a cesarean section birth, you don't really get that. But even more cutting-edge obstetricians are looking at a vaginal swab type of therapy for after a baby is born via C-section to actually take, swab the vagina and put it on the baby. So this could be a way to inoculate a C-section born baby. Anyway, I'm digressing here. So the good bugs are called the probiotics, and we need to constantly replenish them. These probiotics also need nourishing food to help them grow. And this is where prebiotics come in. Prebiotics are the fiber-rich foods that probiotics feed and grow on. Now, as an added bonus, a compound called butyric acid, or butyrate, is produced when the probiotics break down prebiotic foods in the colon. Short-chain fatty acids, butyrate, butyric acid, these are all known to create good health in the colon. Butyric acid is actually the preferred form of fuel for the cells that line the colon, the surface cells of the colon, the epithelium, and it serves to acidify the environment as well, making it harder for harmful opportunistic bacteria to survive, and that's exactly what you want. So the combination of probiotics and prebiotics sounds like a good deal, right? I'll tell you right off the bat, in Dr. O'Hara's essential formula, which is a probiotic, it contains both probiotics and prebiotics. But more about this. And by the way, I'm giving you information today directly from the Institute for Functional Medicine, which is a wonderful resource for many integrative practitioners. Now, two of the main probiotic bacteria that reside in the digestive tract are lactobacilli and bifidobacteria. You've heard of lactobacillus acidophilus. You've heard of bifidobacteria bifidum. You've heard there are many different strains of lactobacilli as well as the bifidobacteria. Now, these can be taken in the form of supplements or included in the diet in the form of fermented foods. These are otherwise known as probiotic foods. Now, let me give you some examples of common probiotic foods. And in order to maintain colonization in the digestive tract, probiotics must be taken or eaten regularly. Okay? So here's some probiotic foods. Acidophilus milk, buttermilk. Buttermilk is a fermented milk. So it's got lactic acid bacteria there, like the lactobacilli bacteria, right? Cottage cheese, fermented meats, fermented vegetables, kefir, kimchi. You've heard of the Asian bok choy or the Asian fermented cabbage. Kombucha, which is a tea. Miso, which is fermented soybean. Natto. pickled vegetables, raw pickled vegetables, but we're talking about a lactic acid fermentation to pickle the vegetables, not a vinegar fermentation, which is a little bit different. Sauerkraut, again, more fermented cabbage. Tempeh, which is a fermented tofu, right? And yogurt. But you want yogurt plain. You want it to have no added sugar, and you want to make sure it contains active cultures. Now, general recommendations for probiotics. The recommendations call for ingesting 1 to 25 billion colony form units daily. Colony forming units, CFUs. So we want to ingest 1 to 25 billion CFUs daily. So let me give you a reference point. Most store-bought probiotic yogurt contains about 1 billion CFUs per serving. So about a 6-ounce serving of yogurt has about a billion CFUs. To get the maximum benefit from fermented foods, however, it's important to read product labels and choose only those that contain active live cultures and preferentially raw, unpasteurized, perishable ingredients. Now, organic brands, of course, are going to be the best choices, as they're not typically heat treated after fermentation, so more of the good bacteria are present. Here's the problem. When you heat treat something after you've fermented it, if you pasteurize something after you've fermented it, you're killing off the beneficial bacteria. Because, you know, pasteurization or heat treating is to kill off bad bacteria, but guess what? It kills off good bacteria. And I want to sidebar a little bit to antibiotics. Why are we so into, why is it such a huge health topic today in our health, in our wellness, to discuss probiotics and prebiotics? It's because we are a culture of still being given an antibiotic prescription for the common cold, which it's not going to work for the common cold because that's a virus. Antibiotics only work for bacterial infections, right? But patients are still walking into their doctor's offices asking for an antibiotic prescription, which is wrong. Okay. Antibiotics also do a wonderful job of wiping out bad bacteria, but again, they wipe out all the good bacteria as well. And that's why we need to be culturing our GI tracts daily with these probiotic foods and the prebiotics that feed them. So, fermented foods can be made at home. You could make kimchi and sauerkraut at home. You could ferment vegetables at home. There are plenty of resources, even cookbooks and websites that will take you through a step-by-step process to do this correctly. And of course, when you're making these fermented or probiotic foods at home, the probiotic content will vary by batch. But home fermenting is a safe way to ensure that you're ingesting beneficial bacteria, as so many various cultures around the world have done for centuries. Various cultures around the world culturing themselves, pun intended, all over the place. Anyway, so Mark wants to know the difference between probiotic foods and prebiotic foods. Let me just mention the few probiotic foods again. Besides things like yogurt or acidophilus milk or buttermilk, fermented vegetables, kefir, kimchi, natto, miso, tempeh, sour cream, right? Because it's fermented. That's how it becomes sour cream. Here are prebiotic foods. Let me list them for you. And again, this is via the Institute of Functional Medicine. Wonderful website, IFM. Prebiotic foods here in alphabetical order. Asparagus, banana, dandelion greens, eggplant, endive or endive, garlic, honey, Jerusalem artichoke or sunchokes, jicama. Jicama is a pleasant, I like to describe it as a pleasant cross between a tuber like a potato and apple. Kefir is also a prebiotic food as well as being a probiotic food. Leeks, legumes, onions, peas. These are all prebiotic foods. Radicchio, that bitter red green that's nice in a salad. Whole grains and yogurt. Again, yogurt is a prebiotic food as well as a probiotic food. Now, Mark is asking, when should each be taken? Morning, midday? Now, if it's coming in a supplement, like Dr. O'Hara's essential formula, it has a combination of probiotics and prebiotics. So obviously it's appropriate to take them together, which is perfectly fine. And can prebiotics be taken the same time as probiotics? Absolutely, Mark. Because think of some of these foods. If you're having some asparagus or some eggplant, you've got some garlic and onion going on in some of your foods, and you've got, maybe you're having a little glass of buttermilk or kefir, or maybe you're following with some kombucha tea. You've got a little sour cream going on. These foods, obviously, you've got a combo of probiotic and prebiotic foods, and the prebiotic foods are many. So as long as you're eating these very helpful foods, again, barring your food allergies, you want to be careful of that. But there are enough, if you're on a paleo type of diet, or a low carb or a Whole 30 type of diet, you're getting plenty of prebiotics from all of your vegetables and some fruit. Think of it. Garlic, onion, eggplant, dandelion greens, asparagus, artichoke, radicchio, right? And if you're having legumes, you've got legumes and peas. These are all good. So these are examples of good prebiotics, all of these food sources. I do like another product, comes from New Zealand, called Flowe or Flow. It's P-H-L-O-E. It's actually extract of kiwi. Kiwi is another good prebiotic food. It helps to feed beneficial bacteria. And the one nice thing about Flowe is it helps to maintain bowel regularity. I'm always finding myself prescribing it regularly for patients who have trouble with constipation. These are prebiotics in Flowe. These are prebiotics that help feed the beneficial bacteria already present in your gut, or probiotics that you're already taking and re-inoculating your gut on a daily basis, whether they're in supplements or with probiotic foods, and helping to maintain bowel regularity. And I'll tell you, so over the years, I've seen so many people, clients, patients, who have chronic constipation. They've taken heroic amounts of fiber, as much as 40 or even 50 grams of fiber. They're drinking plenty of water. You would imagine they are eating rope and yanking it through, right? But it's not working for them. And then one day they take a probiotic and voila, the constipation has vanished. In many of these people, I will tell you, I often see a medical history of taking some type of drug like an antibiotic for a long period of time or even for a period of time. It changes our microbiota. It changes even our diet. A very poor diet will change our microbiota, and by doing so, changes the amount of the beneficial bacteria, the lactobacilli, the bifidobacterium, changes the amount and how they replicate and how then we are able to digest, absorb, and assimilate our foods, right? So changes in diet have the ability to change our microbiota for better or for worse. A poor diet will change it for the worse. And a better diet, our bodies are very, very forgiving. When you're reseeding your gut with healthy prebiotic and probiotic foods and good, healthy, whole foods, the way they're found in nature and they're clean and they're organic, Your microbiota changes, your beneficial bacteria in your gut changes, and the more powerful, the more strong they become, the more they colonize, the more they're able to crowd out bad bacteria in your gut, and the more they're able to help your immunity and to help fix a leaky gut, a permeable gut, right? Very important to be able to fix a leaky gut, to re-strengthen those junctions. So lots of different ways to take prebiotics and probiotics. You could get it solely from food. A serving of yogurt will give you 1 billion CFU daily. That's colony-forming units. Recommendations are anywhere from 1 to 25 billion CFU a day. So if you're taking a probiotic supplement, look for these types of numbers to make sure you're getting enough CFUs. And anytime you're purchasing probiotic foods, make sure it hasn't been heat treated or pasteurized. Yes, pasteurization saves us from foodborne illness, but if you're getting reputable, good quality probiotic foods, they don't need this pasteurization. They've been fermented properly, where what you're getting is mainly the good bugs. And I'll tell you a time I was delighted. I will tell you, one of my favorite kimchi brands is called Mother-in-Law's. And I don't get the spicy kind, although I like the spicy kind. I get the white Napa cabbage kind, which is milder. But anytime I open a jar of this kimchi, it bubbles. It bubbles. It's speaking to me. This is how I know it's got that good, wonderful, beneficial bacteria. And anytime I sip a little bit of that fluid, you don't want to drain the fluid because you want to push that cabbage back into that fluid so it stays fermented and it doesn't dry out. That fluid is delicious to me. It's a nice ferment. It's like champagne. Anyhow, Mark, I hope this answers your question. And I thank you all for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.